Blog Talk Radio.
Joyful, joyful Lord, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love. Heart unfold like flowers.
Rejoice and be glad in it, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, August the 7th, 2022. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook. I am blessed to be the woman of God of this assembly, but as always, I am joined by some of God's most anointed and faithful servant leaders, and this morning I'm being joined by Minister Gladys McGee and Bishop Lester Carver. So on behalf of myself, Minister McGee and Bishop Carver, we would like to welcome you to this morning's service. And we pray that you will hear something on today, hallelujah, that will uplift your spirits and bless your very soul. So at this time, we are going to go to opening prayer with our very own Minister Gladys McGee. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Lord, we do thank you for another day, Lord. We ask that you forgive us of our sins, Father God, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that the service be lifted, Father God, Lord. Lifted high, Father God, Lord, and the rain fall down from it, Father God, Lord, that you would just bless this service on today, Lord. Bless our listeners,
yes,
Father
Jesus.
God. Bless them, Lord. Bless their hearts, Father God, so that it would be open to receive, Father God, Lord. Lord, and we also rebuke any demon, demonic spirits, Lord, any static over the radio station, Lord, any not being able to hear the service, Father God.
Lord, yes, Jesus.
You bless the station, Father God, Lord, so that your word can go through and be heard.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, listening, Lord. Lord, and that you bless them mentally, physically, financially, Father God,
yes.
Lord. And we thank you again for another day that was not promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name, God. Yes,
Ooh.
We do.
So much.
Reading, and in the absence of Mother Mitchell, I will be reading from this powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince, hallelujah, entitled Destined to Reign. This morning's reading is entitled, You Are a Blessing Going Somewhere to Happen, and it's based on Deuteronomy 28:10, where the Word of God reads, Then all the people of the earth shall see what you are called by, see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Today, we are called by the name of Christ, Christians. Therefore, the blessing of Deuteronomy 28, which says, Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, is no longer just a promise, but it's reality. The second part of the verse, and they shall be afraid of you, is also true for you. People will respect you. Your boss will favor you, and even your competitors will esteem you highly. They know that there is something special about you because good things happen when you are around. I experienced this blessing when I first started working. I worked in a small third-floor office which constantly smelled of salted fish because there was a salted fish stall on the ground floor. It was in that small, dingy office that I kept on confessing that I was blessed by the Lord and I experienced divine favor with my clients. My boss could see that there was something different about me. The company's business flourished. And before long, we moved out of that small office to a building which in the mid-80s was considered an information and technology hub. There, we occupied a couple of offices and started specializing in computer software and courses. Soon, we occupied the entire floor. That was how much God was prospering us. God was also blessing me tremendously. I was drawing a very good monthly income, enjoying the favor of my boss, and was in his inner circle. A few years later, I decided to go into full-time ministry. When I broke the news to my boss, he cried. I never knew how much I meant to him until then. It was only then that I realized what a blessing I had been to him by the grace of God. Beloved, because you are also called by the name of the Lord. Wherever you go, you are a blessing. His blessing is on you, and the people around you will look at you and know that you are a blessing going somewhere to happen. The thought for the day, because the blessing of the Lord is upon you, good things happen when you are around. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen and amen. Amen.
All right. I remember when sin was sin. And I remember when wrong was wrong. And I remember when we all fell short and got back up much quicker than the fall. Well, I'm praying that you open our eyes. Praying that you open our eyes again. Father, please open our eyes. Father, please open our eyes again. Exactly what she meant, and then she followed up and said, because I told you so. Well, I'm praying that you open our eyes.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
I'm praying that you open our eyes again.
Oh, Father. Yeah.
Father, please open our eyes.
Here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, and this is a time when we come together as a family and we demonstrate our love through prayer and encouragement. Hallelujah. When we pray here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, we want you to know that we pray expecting God to move, and we pray believing that he will do exactly what he says he will do. Because his word Amen. Declares and decrees, if he abides in us and we abide in him, we can ask what we will and it shall be done. Hallelujah. So we are trusting and believing and about to stand in agreement with God's anointed apostle, Apostle Zeta Flowers, as she takes us, hallelujah, to God's throne of grace. Amen.
Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you, everyone. I'm ready to pray. Let us come to the Lord with our hearts and our heads bowed, that we may come forth and receive and be in agreement. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
You. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you with thanksgiving, thanking you, hallelujah, for watching over us, for blessing us, hallelujah, for tending to our needs, hallelujah, for your healing and your miraculous power. We thank you this morning. We thank you for who you really are. We thank you for loving us. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
We
thank you,
you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah. For your love unconditionally. We thank you. We thank you that you died for each and every one of us because you loved us all just that much. Father God, we, in the name of Jesus, that you would move by your spirit in a miraculous way this morning as we lift up those, Lord, that have needs, those that are helpless, hallelujah, homeless, hallelujah, those that are without hope, hallelujah. We pray in the name of Jesus that they will be instilled with hope, hallelujah, hallelujah, that they will feel your presence through somebody in the name of Jesus, that they will be touched, hallelujah, that they will be told about you, hallelujah, those that don't know you. In the name of Jesus, that they may accept you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for salvation. Hallelujah. We thank you.
Yes,
Jesus.
Lord God.
We thank you. Hallelujah. That you made it to be. Hallelujah.
Yes,
that
thank you, Jesus.
Free. That we could be free. Hallelujah. Because of you. Hallelujah. That we could be spared. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we could serve you and live for you. So we're asking the same for those, Lord, that don't yet have that. In Jesus' name, we ask, Lord, that you would touch those, hallelujah, that have been affected by the storms, hallelujah, by the floods, by the fires. We ask, Lord, that you would rescue them in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And we pray for those that are grieving today. Hallelujah. We ask, Lord, that you would touch in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that you would comfort, hallelujah. Oh, God, that you would encourage their souls, Lord. In the name of Jesus, touch right now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Those that we know and those that we don't know, hallelujah. So we pray, Lord, that you would touch, hallelujah, that you would minister to their needs. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we lift up those that are continuing to be abused. We ask, Lord, that you would have mercy, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Touch in the name of Jesus.
Touch,
hallelujah,
Jesus.
That you would stop the those that are committing these crimes in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, God, the killing of little children, hallelujah. The killing of their mothers. We ask, Lord, that you would step in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, we ask, Lord, that you would bless. Hallelujah. That you would spare their lives. Hallelujah. Oh, God, that you would arrange safety for them in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we just lift them up all over in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know that it's been all over the news. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, our communities and across the nation. So we ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. And allow those to be accountable, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we call for justice, hallelujah, in your name, in the name of Jesus. We lift up those that are in the hospital. We lift up those that are shut in their homes, Lord, with COVID and other diseases and other afflictions, hallelujah. We ask, Lord, that you would move among them in the name of Jesus. Touch right now. Touch right now. Heal right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Raise up those, Lord. Hallelujah. That can't get up. Those that are down. Hallelujah. Those that are weak.
Lord.
Hallelujah. In their bodies. We ask, Lord, that you would give them strength. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, Father.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that you will, in the schools, that you will bless our children, that you will keep them safe. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That they will, you will be watching over them, Lord. We know that most of them have security, but we need you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To save, to spare. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, to protect them in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Those that are incarcerated, we pray for them, Lord. We pray for their safety while they're there. In the name of Jesus, watch over them and protect them in Jesus' name. And hallelujah, those that are have done their time and are waiting to be out, we ask, Lord, that you would release them. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. We thank you for those that are saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That are yet there. But we ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would move them out in a way, Lord, that they can know, hallelujah, that it's you and that they will come out and serve you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We know that there is hope. Hallelujah. Even out of these places, in Jesus' name. So we go, we pray, Lord, also that you would go, hallelujah, in the communities, Lord. We thank you and hallelujah. Continue to allow a work to be done through us, God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and that you
Lord.
Will raise up shelters in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. We also pray for laborers because we know, hallelujah, that the harvest is truly, truly ripe. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But we pray, Lord, that you will raise up more laborers. Hallelujah. That they will walk out without fear. Hallelujah. That they will join in. Hallelujah. In the work. In the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for it. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank
yes.
you for how we can go out, Lord, and you will protect us. Hallelujah. And allow
yes, Lord,
and not allow any hurt or danger to come near us. We thank you that we can go out. We can
thank
we can
you, Lord.
Go out and come in safely. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
God.
We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank
how
you,
Jesus. For how you bless us in our going and in our coming. Thank you for it, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray for the unborn child. Hallelujah.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The unborn. Hallelujah. All over, God. In Jesus'
yes,
name.
Lord,
in the name
world.
Of
yes,
Jesus.
God.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we just praise you. We just praise you for it, Lord. For those that
yes,
you are protecting.
Lord, God.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In the mighty
yes,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray also for the Spirit Alive Ministries this morning, praying, Lord,
thank
for those
you.
That are listening in, hallelujah, that they will receive a message, hallelujah, that they need this morning, hallelujah, that will take them forth, God, hallelujah,
yes,
into
Jesus,
a new into a new dimension in Jesus'
yes.
name, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for it, and hallelujah.
Yes, Lord, God, thank you.
Listening in, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, that are in their place this morning. I pray for them, Lord. Touch them, hallelujah, in their ministries, in their homes, hallelujah, with
yes,
their families
Lord.
And those that you place for them to minister to also in
yes,
Jesus'
Lord,
name.
God.
And we just thank you. We thank you for
thank
what you're
you,
doing
Lord.
In the body. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, if there's any sick among us today, Lord, we pray that you will touch. That you will heal,
yes, Lord.
In the name
the
of Jesus, we know that just a hand touch is sufficient. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
So we ask,
God.
Lord, that you would heal. In the name of Jesus, meet every need of everyone that is listening in. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen and amen.
Amen. Let the church of God say amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
the trouble now. I thought, how do we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you.
Yeah.
If not us,
time for this morning's message. Please retrieve your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 11, and we will be looking at verses 19 through 30. Acts, chapter 11, and we'll be looking at verses 19 through 30. Can everybody hear me clearly?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Acts 11, 19 through 30.
Amen.
And before I start, let me have a word of prayer. I'm going to have a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come to your throne of grace right now, asking that you empty me of self so that your Holy Spirit can step in and have his way. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this message will edify, empower, and educate the saints of God. And Father, I pray that this message will give hope to the lost in a way that they will come on this day asking you to be their Lord and their Savior. I pray it all in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen. Well, family, today's message is entitled, Try a Little Encouragement, because it's my prayer that everyone within the sound of my voice truly knows and understands the importance of encouraging others and how encouragement should be expressed toward others. Now, I can tell you that I've been in ministry for over 40 years. And what I have observed is that the body of Christ is not truly being encouraged. It is being preached at without being ministered to. Therefore, many in the body of Christ don't really know how to encourage others, or they have decided that they just don't want to do it, or they just don't want to do it God's way. I'm here to tell you, testimony services now sound more like exercises in pride instead of praise. Yes, some Christians will spend 10 minutes telling us how good they are or all the things they do instead of simply giving God all the honor, glory, and the praise for what he has done. So today, we are going to look at Acts 11, verses 19 through 30, so that we might glean what it really means to be a true encourager of others. So now let's go to God's word. Acts 11, starting with the 19th verse. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, speaking the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified that by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Amen. So we see that Barnabas is a unique character in the book of Acts, and we first meet him in Acts 4, 36 through 37, where the word of God reads, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So this shows me several things. This shows us that first, Barnabas must have been a real generous person. And second of all, he must have been a really humble person. Because the next time we hear about him is in Acts 9:27, where he befriends Saul. who had just became a believer. Now, everybody else was rejecting Saul, but Barnabas took him to the apostles and helped him along in the ministry. In our text today, we see that the apostles trusted Barnabas enough to represent them to new Gentile Christians in Antioch. He encouraged them and helped lead them and many more to Jesus. Then he went to find Paul so he could come and help the new believers in Antioch. And then later we see Barnabas and Paul became the first missionaries, and it's recorded in the book of Acts, as they began to travel all around the Middle East, sharing Jesus with any and everybody who would listen. Now, the thing I like most about Barnabas is that he lived up to his name, Son of Encouragement. You see, he made it his mission to encourage people everywhere he went. Why? Because that's exactly what the early church needed in order to grow and become strong. But I'm here to tell you that's exactly what we need in God's church today. Because all we need to do is listen to the prayers being prayed and look at the condition of the world, and we will know that there is no shortage of the need to encourage others. And we as children of God, we of all people need to be that source of encouragement to others. So now I'd like to share with you a few reasons why encouragement is so important to God and why it should be important to us, as well as some tangible ways that we can express our love through encouragement. First of all, we need to know that encouragement will help people to turn to Jesus. You see, to encourage someone means to inspire someone with courage, spirit, or hope. It means to hearten or to cheer. It suggests the raising of someone's confidence when they are lacking courage or hope. The Greek word for encouragement is parakleo, which literally means to call to one's side. It is why Jesus calls his Holy Spirit the Parakletos. Why? Because he comes along beside us to encourage and build us up. It also means to urge strongly or to appeal to. Now, it might be easy enough to see how these definitions could fit into the church among us that believe. But what about those we are trying to reach? How can we encourage people who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Now, as I was studying the meaning of the word encouragement, I realized that it was a very good description of what we would like to see happen when we share the good news about Jesus. When we tell people that there's hope, what are we really doing? We're pointing them to Jesus. When we tell people that they can be free from the darkness and the bondage in their lives, what are we really doing? We're pointing them to Jesus. Are we trying to inspire them with courage, spirit, or hope? Yes, we are. Why? Because we know that Jesus can help them. But somehow, we also understand that they've got to see and know that that really works. That is why it is so important for us to encourage them. And what do? We call them to stand beside us and watch what God is doing and has done in our lives. In fact, I believe that we need to invite people into our lives before we try to get them to come to Jesus. Because if they don't see Jesus at work in us, they're not going to be encouraged to seek him any further. If we're telling folks that Jesus loves them and that he's a way maker, hallelujah, they need to see that love manifested in us, to us, and through us. Hallelujah. And it will resonate and it will illuminate out to them. Our text tells us in verse 19, now those who have been scattered by persecution in connection with Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now, these verses do not use the word encourage, but I believe that there was a whole lot of encouragement going on as they told people that the Messiah Jesus could change their lives and make them right with God. The good news about Jesus is filled with encouraging words of love, deliverance, healing, and forgiveness. So we need to share the good news with those in our lives who have not experienced God's love in a personal way. And after a person hears the encouraging good news and says yes to Jesus, I came to tell you that they're going to need even more encouragement, which leads me to point number two. Encouragement will help people stay true to Jesus. Verse 22 through 24. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, oh, hallelujah, he was glad and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And then it goes on to say, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. You see, Barnabas saw the evidence of God's grace, and he was glad. He rejoiced. Hallelujah. He praised God. Are you glad when you find out that someone has received God's forgiveness and now living for him? There's no greater joy or excitement to me when I see someone become a true Christian. You see, Barnabas was glad, and he encouraged these new believers to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Now, exciting as it is to see someone repent of their sins and ask Jesus to forgive them and change their hearts, it is equally as heartbreaking to hear that they have fallen away from God. Now, and this can happen to any of us if we lose sight of our relationship with Jesus. And sometimes when it happens, it's because there was a lack of encouragement. That's why the enemy tries to isolate you from the believers. That's why he's using church hurt on the believers. He wants to isolate you. He doesn't want you to be around people that can encourage you. But that's exactly why we need to build close relationships with one another as well as with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I came to tell you something. This verse isn't necessarily about going to church. I know some of you looking at the computers and your phones going, what you talking about, Apostle? Well, what I'm talking about is I think that this includes meeting together for worship, but it also includes the other times when Christians are together. We can meet in our homes, just like the first century believers did. We can meet anywhere, as long as we are regularly getting together with other believers who can help us to grow. Iron sharpens iron. So, yes, we want to go to church. We want to go to the brick and mortar, if that's what you choose to do. But we can meet anywhere. We're meeting right now. Hallelujah. So, whether it's in a church, home, or some other place, just know that we need to be encouraging one another, as Hebrews 10 just told us. I want you to go out and give somebody an encouraging word this week. I want you to call up somebody and tell them nothing but you've been praying for them and that they're going to be okay. Let them know that you are standing with them. Sometimes your influence may be just what they need to help them stay true to the Lord right now. And along these same lines, we need encouragement on another front. Now, we've just talked about encouragement within the Christian fellowship and friendships, but let me tell you something. We also need encouragement on the level of discipleship. And discipleship basically means learning to love God and to live our lives for Him. The Bible is our basic instruction before leaving earth, so it's our main source for the encouraging words of discipleship, because encouragement helps other believers become more like Jesus. Our tag for this network is Be Ye Transformed, and that's what we want to see. We want to see others become more like Jesus. Verse 25 through 26. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, Barnabas was seeing so many people come to Jesus that he knew he needed some more help. So he set out for Tarsus. And I want you to know, it was probably on foot, but he was going to find Saul. Now, Tarsus was over 100 miles around the northeast corner of the Mediterranean Sea from Antioch. And it probably took him a few days to get there. So why did he go to all the trouble to find Saul? I'm going to tell you why. Because he knew that Saul could offer great insight into the scriptures. You see, Saul was a scholar. And that would help these new Christians grow and become strong in their faith. Now, what was the result of Barnabas and Saul investing 1 year of their lives in Antioch? Well, verse 26 says they taught great numbers of people. Now, obviously, this was all about the Lord. It was not, I repeat, it was not about Barnabas and Saul. However, the Lord used them to build his church in that city. Sometime in the 4th century, maybe 300 years after Barnabas and Saul was there, Chrysostom relates that the Christian population of Antioch was about 100,000 people. Now, that's not bad for a city with a population of only 200,000. Do you think we could ask God to help us reach half the people in our cities? If there are around 200,000 people in any given city and some of the surrounding areas, couldn't we ask God to bring at least half of them into a right relationship with Him? Now, hear me clearly. This is not to limit God, but just think. If 100,000 Christians were encouraging one another every day of every week, and they were coming together to worship and praise God for His goodness, I believe that there wouldn't be enough room. Because, see, most churches only have seating for 100 to 500 here in the area where I live. So I'm always asking God, if churches are really ready for the revival that He wants to send. Because, see, I sit with God and ask a lot of questions. And my answer is no, we are not ready. But one way we can get ready is to make sure that we are encouraging believers through discipleship, that we are encouraging one another through love. Barnabas and Saul spent a whole year teaching God's word to the new believers in Antioch. And I'm sure that they didn't just talk about it, thanks to God, but they prayed it and they lived it, hallelujah, so they could see how they can apply that word.
And they grew into such a strong group that apparently people started calling them Christians. See, I'll give you a little sidebar. Members of Caesar's household called themselves Caesareans to show their allegiance and loyalty to Caesar. Those under Herod were called Herodians. And apparently, hallelujah, the people of Antioch were known for making fun of groups of people. So they were coined the term, they were called Christians. It was likely intended as a way to poke a little fun at those who followed Jesus Christ, but since it really seemed to communicate the idea of following or being associated with Christ, believers in the following centuries were more than happy to adopt the name. You see, 1 Peter 4:16 is the only other place the name appears in the Bible. It says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. We bear the name of Christ, people, as Christians, or little Christ, as some define it. We should be encouraging one another to become more and more and more like Jesus. Now, you know, good and well, most of us have earned a nickname at some point in our lives. You know, people like to associate you with someone or something. I would hope that we would be worthy of a nickname that says something about Jesus. I'm called the Shunammite woman, and I love it. I'm called Woman of God, and I love it. So what do people say about those who try to be like Jesus? Well, some of them say some pretty bad things, and some of it we deserve. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep it real. I'm just going to be transparent. We deserve it because we sit up with our judgmental, hypocritical attitudes, looking down on people instead of lifting them up. But the main thing that all believers need to learn is how to love the Lord and how to live a life that is a good reflection of who he is and what he can do with a broken life. So how do we do that? We do that by encouragement. We give one another love and encouragement through fellowship and through discipleship. And lastly, I want to take us just, you know, it can't be just about words. We just can't be hearers of the word. We got to be doers of the word. So our encouragement often requires action. You see, these new Christians at Antioch had been encouraged by Barnabas and Paul through discipleship and had built a close relationship with one another. Encouragement was strong at the church of Antioch. When some prophets came and said that a severe famine was coming, they decided to send encouragement to one of the places where the famine would be felt strongest, Jerusalem. Now, I want you to notice what they did not do. They did not write a letter that said, "Dear brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, we've heard that you are going to be short of food and supplies soon and just want you to know that we'll be praying for you. God bless you." No. You see, the Christians of Antioch, you know, they're doers of the word. Now, I want you to know there would have been nothing wrong with them writing such a letter. And maybe they did write such a letter and send it along with the supplies, because they knew that with their prayers, something more tangible was needed. Verse 27 says, "During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up through the Spirit, predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world." Now, this happened during the reign of Claudius. "The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. And they did this, thanks to God, before the famine had even happened. You see, God was lining up provisions for his people ahead of time, just like he had done through Joseph in the Old Testament. Why? Because God takes care of his children. In James 2:14-17, we find an example of words without action. It says, "What good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead." Faith without works is dead. So how can we apply this to our life today? Well, we can respond to the needs just like the Christians in Antioch did. If each of us, according to our ability, decide to provide help when we hear about someone in need, then our actions will speak louder than our words. Encouraging words are very important, but sometimes the love language of encouragement needs to be accompanied by tangible gifts of provision for those in dire need. I come to testify this morning, saints of God. When you go out and you feed the homeless, when you give them a sandwich, when you give them a warm coat, if you go out and you talk to the young people, my Lord, you have their attention. When you provide and meet a need, you will have their ear. Sometimes we have to physically feed people before we can spiritually feed people. My Lord and my God, maybe you know a family that could use a little encouragement. Go ahead, bless them right now. Let them know that you're thinking about them and that God is concerned about them. If you aren't aware of some giving opportunities, you can always go and look up ways to volunteer in your community. My Lord. So what am I saying? I'm saying this. If we love the Lord, if we want to do the work of the kingdom, then we must love others by encouraging them. We must love others by building them up. And when I say build them up, I'm talking about building them up with the word of God, building them up with Jesus. Because, beloved, what you can do, your credentials, where you've been, what you've done, that is not going to save them. Only the word of God saves. Only the word of God heals. Only the word of God builds up. And that's all we should be sharing. I'm not saying we can't share parts of our testimony, but you got to remember, when we're out there encouraging and evangelizing, we might not have a lot of time to go through no long, drawn-out backstory. We got to get right to the heart of the matter. We've got to start encouraging people where they are. How do we do that? First of all, when we walk up on people, we need to do so prayerfully. You know, we can't walk up on people fixing in our mind what we're going to say. No, we're praying to prepare our hearts and our ears to actively listen to what they're going through. And when you're encouraging somebody, it's about lifting them up. This is not your time to tell them all about you. This is your time to be real transparent and tell them about Jesus. But see, that's what's wrong with a lot of us Christians. We don't want to be transparent enough to tell the low down and dirty truth. We don't want to share that we've been afraid, that we've fallen short, and Jesus picked us up. We don't want to share that. No, too many Christians want to go out and be holier than thou. So they encourage no one. No one. The thing I love here about here at Spirit Alive, all of the servant leaders walk in transparency. We do not claim to have arrived. We do not know everything. And we tell you that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When we go, we have to go out there and we have to love others like Jesus loves us. We have to go out there and stand beside people and tell them that whatever is going on in their life, Jesus can make it right. Whatever the situation may be, Jesus is the answer. And we cannot sit on our complacent, lazy rear ends and do nothing. We must do something. And as we close today, have you found yourself in need of encouragement lately? Call me. Have you felt lonely, depressed, unimportant, beyond help, maybe even hopeless? Call me. See, you can find encouragement when you spend time with other believers. I know I call Apostle Zeta all the time for encouragement. Hallelujah. Because, see, I'm not perfect. I can get in my feelings. And I call her up and say, okay, Mother Apostle, talk me down off the cliff. All right, because I'm not feeling the love right now. And she encourages me and she builds me up and she reminds me of what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. And we begin to praise God and we pray. Hallelujah. We have to remember what Hebrews 10 and 25 says. Don't let us neglect coming together. We need to come together. And we need to come together with the saved and the unsaved. Because how can you reach the lost if you're not around them? You know? Maybe you just need to start inviting people to your home. Maybe, hallelujah, you might just go help your neighbor. You see your neighbor struggling. Maybe you'll just go help them. Hallelujah. But you see, encouragement also needs to be, it has to be about fellowship, it has to be about discipleship, and it has to be about action. Are you willing to be a real encourager for the Lord? Are you willing to go out and share God's word and tell them that God can make it right? Are you willing to go out and love others as God first loved you? Are you willing to encourage others as the Holy Spirit encourages you? Because, see, beloved, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It has always been about Jesus. And that's what we should be using to encourage others. Not our dossiers, our resumes, But the Word of God. So go out and encourage someone this week. Go out and be a blessing to someone this week. And if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, right now, I encourage you. I beseech you to give your life to Christ. And let me tell you something, beloved. You don't have to get dressed up and go into a building. You don't have to do anything but bow your heart to the Lord and confess your sin. So right now, I want you to prepare your mind. I want you to listen to my words. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. So the time to come to Jesus is now.
The time to praise Jesus is now. And all you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sin because I believe that you are the Son of the living God. Please come into my life and save me for your name's sake. And then, Lord, I want you to teach me so that you might use me for your glory and to help me add to your kingdom. I pray this in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen. And if you prayed that prayer with me on behalf of myself, Minister Gladys, Bishop Carver, Apostle Zeta, hallelujah, we just want to say welcome to the family of God. And we pray that you will find a church home, hallelujah, a Christ-centered Bible-teaching church home so that you can be around other believers. And of course, we want you to continue to walk with us here at the Spirit Alive Network because we want you to study to show yourselves approved. And all you need to do is ask the Holy Spirit to teach you the things of God and trust and believe that he will. Now, at this time, I'm going to ask Bishop Carver to come into the room and pray for us.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your goodness and your graciousness toward us, God. Father, I thank you for your hand upon our life and for you giving us a desire to seek your face and seek relationship with you. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent to destroy the works of the devil. I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent so that we could be whole spiritually again and receive the power of the Holy Spirit within our life so that you could be present within us, so that your son could be present within us, so that the Holy Spirit could be present within us, so that we could share in the work of reconciling the world back to you. Together with all of that power that you've given us so that we could glorify you and we could really tap into your purpose for our life. Father, I thank you for how important we are to you, and I thank you for the value of our souls being present in our understanding, that we guard the way that we do, so that we appreciate our value, and so that we understand how important we are to realizing your purpose and your plan of creating your heavenly kingdom of many nations. God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us each and every day, that it is new. Father, I thank you for you giving us all that we need to do, all that we have to do for you, so that nothing prevents us from being our best for you. Nothing prevents us from being restored. Nothing prevents us from completing our work. Father, I thank you for the power of your word in our life becoming real.
Yes, Lord.
Say what you're doing. Father, I thank you for you having given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in your word. And I thank you for you giving us the knowledge to operate the power that is within us intentionally and deliberately and appropriately so that we can be effective and effectual in all that we do for you, God. Allow us to meet your souls and God, allow us to prosper spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially so that we can draw others to you and restore them spiritually and mentally and emotionally and financially and physically. Father, I thank you for your blessings upon our life, God. Father, I thank you for your care and concern for us. And I thank you for us reaching into your presence and receiving all that you have for us because we love you,
Jesus.
We love ourselves and we love others as you command us to in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You know, this topic is so important to me.
But before I go, I'm going to ask the servant leaders to put their praise on it today. But if you are in our sanctuary and you would like to have a word of praise or you would like to ask for prayer, please press your 1 on your keypad of your phone, and that will alert me that you would like to have a word. I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. So that will let you know that you are live and you are in our worship service. Amen. So while I scroll and look for the ones, I am going to ask Minister Gladys to come in and put her praise on it. Amen. Minister Gladys?
Thank you, Lord. I'm here.
Thank you.
The lesson was really a teaching on today of how to love others. You know, I just thank God for the word on today and that others was able to hear it and to know that we have to be in accordance with the word, be lined up with God when we, with others, to draw others. In Jesus' name, I just thank God for the word on today.
Bishop Carver, come on in the room and give us a word on encouragement.
Praise the Lord, woman of God. Well, you know, I will tell you that when our heart is toward others in obedience to God, that we want to direct people to Jesus Christ because it's
yes.
the only way for them to come into the presence of the throne of God. Because when we're covered by the blood of Christ, we have to understand that the blood of Christ has the power to cover all
Hallelujah.
Of our sins, past, present, and future. And when you understand the power of the blood of Christ, any shame is gone. Any condemnation is gone. Any fear
Teach, man of God.
Is gone because perfect love casts out fear because fear
yes.
has torment. That's
Come
why
on now.
We have to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that we can love ourselves, so that we can teach others to love themselves and love God
yes.
with all of their whole
Hallelujah.
Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because God needs them to be in his presence so that they
yes.
can receive the rest of his grace and the rest of his mercy. And I don't believe many people understand what God's grace and mercy is. God's grace
yes.
is not only his unmerited favor, all the good stuff we get from him that we don't deserve, but it's also his enabling power. We have the power to do anything that God is calling us to do. That's a part of his grace. But the other thing
Amen.
He gives us every day because we need it is his mercy. And his mercy
yes.
is that judgment that we do not get, that whooping that
all
we
I
do not
teach
get.
Now.
Because we
yeah.
need it. But when we are not humble, when we're not real, when we're fake, then we're not operating in the power of God. We're not
Come
coming
on.
Before
Say
the
that.
Throne of God in
Amen.
Humility to receive his
Amen.
Mercy,
Say that.
To go with his grace so that we can get right back up after we slip up.
That's right.
And you
That's
know,
right.
when you're real, then you can understand, hey, if Jesus prayed to God for himself, how much more do we need to pray to God for
come
ourselves?
Come on now. Hallelujah.
I'm,
say that.
I'm going to say
come
the
on,
word
come
right
on, Bishop.
From John 17. It says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify
yes.
your son, that your son also may glorify you. As you have
yes.
given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given to him. And this is
That's
eternal
right.
life, that they may know you, the only true
Come
God,
on, Bishop.
And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me
to
do.
That's right. Come on now.
Oh, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. We have to say what the word says. And when we say what the word says, then people know that it's real. And when we just start talking without giving the scripture to back up what we're saying, then people are scratching their heads trying to figure out where to go, because sometimes they're different things from the same person. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you to, when you are speaking with someone, ask them, where is that in the Bible?
Yes.
Because
Amen.
We all have phones, we can Google it. So I want to encourage you to know that the answers are out there, and don't be afraid to ask for the answers, and do not be afraid to use Google.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. Yes. Thank you so much, Bishop. Apostle Zeta Flower, please come in the room and bless us. Put your praise on it, and you can take your time. Amen.
Hey, thank you. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed that message, and I'm sure others did. It went where it needed to go, to our ears. And I love the way you brought it out, how that we are not to just be hearers of the word only, but doers. You know, there are things that we can do, as you mentioned, in a tangible way for people. People are suffering all kinds of ways and going through and not having all the, even the basic needs. And when we can give them the word of God, which is most important, and then come along and meet some of the needs, especially the basic needs, food, shelter, whatever we can give to them, clothing, it makes a huge difference. I know when I was over in Haiti, we set up a feeding station for the children. They were going to school and so forth, but they were starving. They had no food. And so
My
we
Lord.
Set up a feeding station. It made a huge difference. You know, it's hard to learn when you're hungry.
When you're hungry.
And,
Amen.
Some of us think that, and we're not even hungry.
Amen.
As we think,
Amen,
you know,
Apostle, say
but,
that.
But they are starving. So these are some of the things that can make a difference, giving somebody some clothing. Maybe they can't come out to service or whatever because they are ashamed of the means or the things that
Amen.
They have to come to church in. So, you know, there's all so many ways to give financially, you know.
Yes, amen.
The other ways that I mentioned, give them a ride, you know, take them
amen.
Somewhere, you know, and especially children to do things that they will enjoy, you know, take
yes.
them to the park. Just there are all kinds of things that we can do. And I like the way you brought out encouragement, because we all need it, you know.
Yes.
You know, we generally know who do need it, those of us
yes.
that are really sold out to the Lord. And so we just need to give that encouragement
yes.
to others, to give them a boost, to help them, to let them know you're going to make it. You can. And as Bishop Carver said, God has given us everything that we need. You know,
yes.
it's available. It
yes.
might not
Hallelujah.
Be in somebody else's hands, but it might be in yours. It might be in
Amen.
Mine. So if it's there and we know the situation, then we can meet the need. We
Amen,
can, we can,
Apostle.
Yes, we can heal the hurt. you
yes,
know,
we
can pray to God.
Teach.
Ask the Lord to heal, you know, to work a miracle when it's needed.
That's right.
I mean, you know, there are so many things that we can do, and we don't want to overlook these things in the
That's
body
right.
of Christ. Whether they're in the household of faith or not.
That's right.
You know?
Amen.
Praise God. So the message was great. The message was a message that is needed for the church body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to hear that. People need to be encouraged to encourage.
Yes.
You know, because we know that is often lacking. So
yes.
Beautiful service today. Great.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful.
Praise God, Apostle. To God be all the glory. I just praise God, and I want to thank the anointed servant leaders here that they are always willing to help in the spreading of God's banquet table. And I appreciate all of the comments and all that was said, because it was the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And there's still time if you are in our sanctuary and you would just like to have a word, let us know that you were here. Press your one, and we'll be more than happy to bring you into the service. I want to thank God for this service today, and I praise God that he just allows me to sit at his feet and to really learn and to be observant. And I really want to help God, hallelujah, in building his kingdom. And I want us to understand that loving God loves us so much. And so we should just love on people the way he loves us. And sometimes that's just a sweet word of the scripture. Sometimes it's just a phone call. Sometimes it's as simple as a smile. God uses all that we have. If he's lifted up, he will draw men unto himself. So we must encourage others through fellowshipping with them, get in relationships with people. God is a relational God. And so we're going to engage people, don't just drop the word on them and walk away. Start in your neighborhood where you can really start actively loving them and encouraging them through discipleship. Hallelujah. Start inviting them to go places with you and see how God operates through you. Hallelujah. And what he does to reward you. I just praise God for this today, and I pray that everyone will be, like Apostle Zeta Flower said, I pray that everybody will be encouraged to be encouragers. So if there be nothing else, I just praise God. I want to thank Minister Gladys McGee, Bishop Lester Carver, and our most beloved Apostle Zeta Flowers, and all of you that were in the sanctuary, whether you spoke or not. We are so blessed that you were here with us today, and we pray that you will come again. If there be nothing else, I will now dismiss you. Let me read the benediction and dismiss you. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. Amen. You have been listening to the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. I am Apostle Shalene Cook. And again, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. Please follow us here on the Spirit of Life Network, because we do have something for everyone. Tomorrow and Tuesday, hallelujah, Bishop Lester Carver starts our week out right. Tomorrow he will be teaching with his beautiful wife, Pastor Vanessa, their lesson on God's great love for us. And tomorrow he's going to be teaching along the same lines, because he's going to be teaching that we are the church. Amen. Then catch him on Tuesday for his Tuesday teaching. And this Wednesday, I am so excited, because we are going to be having another installation of our Daughters of Naomi. And it will be entitled Sense and Sensibility, because we will be teaching how to impart wisdom and discretion to others. For more information about us, please follow us on Facebook, or you can Google us at Spirit Alive, www.spiritalivenetwork.com. So on behalf of all of us, have a beautiful and blessed week. Continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. God bless you. Go in peace. And remember that God loves you
and so do I. God bless you. I love you all. You are dismissed. Love you, family.
Love
what
you
a beautiful service.
Love you too.
I just love you all so much. Thank you
Take
for
care.
Coming, everybody. I love you. Take care. Have a blessed week.
Love you as well. Bye-bye.